And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Craig Berube done in St. Louis. The fantasy follow-up from that and much more is coming right up, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 10 Mailbag Edition. Nick Alberga, Pete Jensen, and Anna Dew with you. What's going on, Pete?
What's up, Nick? Yeah, St. Louis in the midst of a quasi-rebuild, retool on the fly, and I guess Craig Berube, the guy that led them to the Stanley Cup in 2019, is the fall guy, but I just want to give a shout-out. Skip, of course, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Craig Berube delivered for the city of St. Louis. That's a city that has lost teams through the years, right, Anna? And that Stanley Cup will be standing there forever.
Absolutely, and that was a miracle run that they went on, and I don't think the city's going to forget it anytime soon. I've been saying a lot. I don't really know what the St. Louis Blues' plan was heading into this season, so they're making moves. They're trying to switch things up, but I don't even know what their end goal is looking like right now.
Hey, no pressure on Drew Bannister. The previous person to take the interim tag brought the team to the Stanley Cup, and Craig Berube, of course, everything comes full circle as we bring in today's guest, Jake Hahn, from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. What's going on, buddy? Happy holidays. How are you?
Happy holidays. Great to be on with you guys. A week or so, a week and a half away from Christmas here. And I don't know if we could expect the same thing from the Blues this time around, Nick. You just referenced it with Craig Berube taking over. It was actually earlier in the season. I think it was under 20 games when Mike Yeo got fired. Craig Berube came in, obviously led that Blues team to a Stanley Cup. My expectations for the Blues was kind of exactly where they are. I don't know about you guys this year in the season, middling team right around NHL 500. So not really sure what they expected with this roster, but we're going to see if maybe they can get that head coaching bump that you always tweet about, Nick.
On the topic of those 2019 Blues going from literally dead last in the standings at some point, like a month or two in, right, to winning the Stanley Cup, Jake, is there a team out there that has started slow? Maybe not the bottom of the standings. I mean, right now it's like you don't expect anything like that from the five teams down there. But is there a team that is underachieved so far that you still think has a very high ceiling in fantasy, betting, or both?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are looking at the Pittsburgh Penguins, Pete, as a team that has some pretty good underlying numbers, plays well 5-on-5 for the most part. I don't know if I'm there. I still think they've got a lot of issues defensively that it are going to hurt them here long term. I actually think Tampa Bay is a team that I'm really looking at long term, where they haven't played bad. They've kind of hovered around NHL 500. I think they did a decent enough job treading water without Andrei Vasilevsky. They're on a difficult road trip right now, so maybe this isn't the week to attack the Tampa Bay Lightning. But I think as the season goes on, maybe they can figure out some depth. They obviously have superstar talent up front, and we're all seeing what Nikita Kucherov is doing. And I think Vasilevsky's only going to get better between the pipes. So Tampa's a team, I think, that's kind of lurking in that 20-1 range right now, where I think as long as they secure their playoff spot, they could be a very, very dangerous team and still go on a deep run this year.
Jake, I feel like we're at the point of the year where no one can say it's still early anymore and what's happening has happened. And you mentioned Tampa kind of maybe changing the tides a little bit with Vasi getting back. But based off of what's happened so far to kick off the season, who is your fantasy MVP based on draft position right now? That's the big question.
Yeah, and that's a great question too. And I unfortunately could have said Kyle Connor a few days ago, and I'm still grieving the loss here, guys. I was hoping you could maybe help me through this because I had so much exposure to Kyle Connor in fantasy hockey. 80-1 ticket on him to win the Rocket Richard Trophy, which obviously goes up in flames here as well. And we can get into the Jets later and kind of the fallout from that whole situation as well. I'll shout out Sidney Crosby as well for a guy that kind of slipped into that, you know, third round conversation all of a sudden. And I think a lot of people are wanting to start to write Sid and Ovi off at this part of their careers. Now, Ovi's a separate conversation, and we are seeing him struggle in his advanced age right now, but not Sidney Crosby. I mean, this guy is still playing at an MVP level. It's incredible. And I just mentioned how strong the Penguins' even strength numbers are. I would say almost all of that is due to Sidney Crosby and what he does up on that top line with Jake Guentzel. It was Brian Rust up there with them. He gets hurt. You know, insert Drew O'Connor. Who cares? As long as Sid's playing on that line, they're going to be completely dominant. So I'll say Sidney Crosby for me, with the fact that he slipped in drafts and he's still giving you basically first round value.
I got to look at the Letang and Carlson pairing on Wednesday against the Montreal Canadiens. I never want to see that pairing in my life again. I can't believe in that team. I really, really can't. I know they've had back-to-back victories. Got the Kyle Dubas revenge game coming up. Speaking of revenge, I wanted to mention maybe the stream of my fantasy career on Wednesday night. Gave Vilardi in a revenge look against Winnipeg or against LA, and he gets 4 points. Like, I was on fire that I doubled down, and I'm going with Oliver Ekman-Larsson tonight, the Roberto Luongo night, and OEL returns to Vancouver. Just want to tie up some loose ends, by the way, on St. Louis, because I think there's a lot of fantasy value to uncover. You talk about the new coach bump. Edmonton's 10-3-0, Minnesota 5-2-0. Two players I'm looking at, Jake, on St. Louis. Jordan Kyrou, I think, has really good buy-low appeal right now. 5 goals in 28 games after career-high 37 last year. And I would look at that power play maybe to improve a bit. 31 of 32 right now in the NHL. The guy I have my eyes on, Scott Perunovic. 42 points in 39 games under Bannister in AHL Springfield. So I would look at him, 2 assists and 17 so far. Sometimes it's something as small as a different voice behind the bench can get a team cooking here.
Well, you'll be happy to know I will be at that Kyle Dubas revenge game over the weekend. So I'm very much looking forward to taking that one in. But as for the Blues, I think there's some interesting fantasy value here. They're not really a team that relies on one or two guys. You know, although Jordan Kyrou and Robert Thomas are paid to be top end players, we haven't really seen it yet. Although I would like to see a better rest of the season from Kyrou, start to see him shooting the puck a little bit more and doing what we know he can do. Jake Neighbors was a guy that I think a lot of people were on the last couple weeks, and he had a nice little run up on that first power play. I still think that he can provide some good value for you as well. And even a guy like Braden Schenn, who continues to get top 6 minutes and gets looks on that first power play as well. I think he's a guy that maybe in a deeper league you could look at and find a little value there.
Jake Neighbors, since mid-November, is tied for third in the NHL in goals behind Brock Besser and Val Nichushkin. Nichushkin had a huge game yesterday. Besser is in the conversation without a doubt, Jake, for fantasy MVP to this point. ADP 158, Yahoo Standard rank 12. As good as everybody has been on Vancouver, we expected it to some extent from Quinn Hughes and Pedersen and JT Miller. Did you ever see this coming? Tied for the NHL lead in goals, Brock Besser with 21.
Well, I guess it's time we have to start taking him seriously, right? Because we see this every year in the Rocket race where there's one or two names up there about a month and a half into the season. You think, hey, that's great. You know, nice start to the season for them, but it probably fizzles out and maybe they'll end up with 30 or 40 goals, something that range, maybe a career high. You know, Sam Reinhart's up there right now. I think he falls into that category too as a good player, but not really a player we think of in the Rocket conversation, right? And that's the same thing with Brock Besser. So I kind of overlooked him, I think, in this conversation, especially with some big names in there, right? With Austin Matthews, you know, firing and David Pastrnak kind of hanging out there. You feel like he's good for a 3 or 4 goal night at some point to prop it up. But maybe it's time we start taking Brock Besser seriously in this, guys, because he's in a perfect situation to succeed. He's got players playing well around him and he just continues to score. So I don't think ultimately he wins the Rocket, but it feels like he wants to hang around in that conversation a lot longer than I expected.
As we have this conversation tied with Austin Matthews at 21 goals on pace for 59. And I'm a stand-up guy. I owe Davey Satriano a bit of an apology because I sort of I scoffed at the fact that he stayed up till 3 a.m. After night one of the season to pick up Brock Besser. And, well, pretty smart in terms of making some money. So Brock Besser all over him. Delivered by your good friends over at Skip. What's up with Matthew Tkachuk, Anna, is a question that we've been getting a lot lately, and that's fair in asking, and people are bringing up the broken sternum, but I'm saying he had a pretty good start. I think he's just cold right now.
It happens. You got to give these guys some time. They're on like a dry spell. It's just not working out for them, but it's not necessarily his play that's concerning me right now. And I feel like this is like a broken record, right? Like Matt Tkachuk's still 12th in the NHL in shots on goal. He has over 100 shots on goal. He's just not finding the back of the net, not getting those lucky breaks. Other guys on his team are red hot. Carter Verhaeghe is looking like his old self right now. He's absolutely tearing it up. And as Nick says, I feel like this is now my new favorite quote, even though Nick coined it. There's one puck to go around, and when other guys are getting hot, Matt Tkachuk's kind of left in the dust despite his high shot volume.
I actually have a team with Tkachuk and Verhaeghe on it. So Verhaeghe's masking a lot of my Tkachuk issues right now. And I think you could say the same thing about the Florida Panthers, right? Not a ton of people talking about the struggles of Matt Tkachuk because Florida is playing so well as a team. They're getting production from other players. So I think that's kind of letting him go in this slump quietly and maybe figure it out. But Nick referenced it. Like, I think a lot of people are pointing to the injury. But early in the season, he went on a really nice run there where he was very productive. So it could just be a slump. It could be as simple as that. Maybe get something going on the power play, and we'll see those points start to roll in for Matt Tkachuk. But it does look like he's fighting it a little bit this year. He's not that same dominant first-round fantasy player that we saw last season.
And when you're talking about buy-low windows, you look at that minimum 75 or so shots on goal to this point in the season, and you see three really intriguing names at the top of that list in terms of the lowest shooting percentages. Matthew Tkachuk is the lowest at 4.8. Alex Ovechkin, second lowest, tied with Jordan Kyrou at 5.6. Cole Caulfield's also down there right now. But, I mean, I think there's a buy-low window on Ovi as well. And Kyrou is an obvious beneficiary of the coaching change. I liked that point that you guys brought up earlier.
So we got a question from our good friends over at Skip, and this is the last time I will ever bring this up on this show because we get this question every single week, and Jake is going to silence this question forever, okay? Matt Tkachuk's going through a dry spell, but this guy has been in a dry spell ever since joining this team. What's going on with Timo Meier? Every time we post a poll, that is the question we get week after week. And at this point, guys, he's just a different player he is in New Jersey than he was in San Jose. And Jake's going to answer this for the last time on the Fantasy on Ice podcast.
I got you guys here. It goes back to what you said earlier in this episode. There's only one puck that we play with. Unless we start changing the game of hockey. And I'm always here to improve the game. We want to start playing with five pucks or something. That could be pretty interesting. It might be difficult on goaltenders and defensemen, but if we do that, then I think guys like Timo Meier will have a lot more success. It's just when you look at his role in San Jose, right? In those last couple of years in San Jose, obviously the Sharks weren't a great team, and he was looked at to play 20 plus minutes every single night, all the power play time, all the shot shares. Now he comes over to New Jersey and he's playing with a bunch of guys that like to shoot the puck. I mean, Jack Hughes is as much as anybody in the league. Now you got Tyler Toffoli in there as well, who also likes to shoot the puck. Bratt, who has become a bit more of a passer in New Jersey, but you know, perennially he was a shooter in the past as well, and he's starting to shoot the puck a lot more now. So I just think it's him trying to figure out a different role. And I feel like his fantasy value is never going to meet what you feel like it could based on how we projected him coming over from San Jose.
I've come to the realization that player is just really, really streaky. Like, and nobody can explain this Brock Besser breakout. Like, he hasn't done this since his sophomore season. Meier can easily come back next year and score 45 goals. Like, that's the way I'm viewing it. I think this year is a one-off. I think the first half is a one-off. I would probably still buy low on a Timo Meier. Like, I just think, Pete, you look at New Jersey, the way they started the season, the way they were scoring left and right. Now they're trying to rein things in defensively because they don't have a goalie. And this is probably, you know, what it's coming to. Pete, are you a believer in Timo Meier?
I would buy low, I agree, for the right price. I mean, there are people out there, like we've been saying, they've been clamoring. They're looking to sell low on him. That's never a great idea for a player that has a high floor like Meier and certainly a high ceiling. I mean, if he kicks it back into high gear, he could easily finish in the top 50 overall fantasy players because of his category coverage. But it is a difficult division. They are dealing with injuries. Mm-hmm. New Jersey with Hamilton and Meier earlier in the year and Jack Hughes for that little bit. So it's been one thing or another. But again, the possession dominance is there for the New Jersey Devils, where at the end of the day, they're a top five possession team that will turn their season around over time.
Jake, big question for you. Pete just referenced the Metro Division. Are you a believer in the New York Islanders? They're still booing John Tavares, man.
No one can hold a grudge like Islanders fans, but I actually respect it. I really do. I think it's hilarious that they still boo him all these years later and they're passionate. So, hey, it's good that we have fan bases like that in the NHL. I got to say no, Nick. I'm still not a believer. I do like that they're kind of changing their style a little bit this year, though. They're actually exciting to watch. I thought they would be so boring to watch this year. No offense. We're seeing Matt Barzal unlocked offensively, so which is great. Yeah. He's shooting the puck a lot more. So as a hockey fan who just wants to be entertained sometimes when I turn on a game, I'm down for it. I'm here for what the Islanders are doing. I just think that there's teams in the Metro that are waiting to go on a move right now. And I believe in the Flyers, who we know have played well to start the season. I think New Jersey's about to get hot. And Carolina, they don't look like the Canes right now, but they're just tried and true. You know they're going to figure it out at some point as well. So I feel like the Devils and Canes, once they figure it out, that might be bad news for a team like the Islanders that's currently holding a playoff spot.
And the guy, Anna, that has unlocked Barzal is not only Coach Lane Lambert, but Bo Horvat. Ever since he's come in and Barzal shifted to the wing, he's been ridiculous. And the Islanders, since mid-November, are the fourth best offense in goals per game in the entire league. So yeah, times have changed out there on the island.
Yeah, he looks like rookie Matt Barzal right now, but he's not even the big player that I'm noticing out on Long Island. And for me, I'm not as high on them in a future sense either. I'm not sold on this team, but I think there might be a little inkling of a conversation in the Norris Trophy race right now, guys. At the very least, a consideration. Noah Dobson had his seventh multi-point game, guys. He's heating up. He's a big part of this squad. At the very, very least, is this someone you're considering as like a dark, dark horse candidate, Jake?
It feels like we already gave out the Norris, unfortunately, at the start of the year. We're like, okay, there's two guys that can win it. This race is over. But no, there's a lot of racetrack left. And we tend to do this, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody, giving awards out like a month into the season. Like, okay, pump the brakes. Quinn Hughes was great. We know Cale Makar is the best defenseman in the world. But there's a lot of racetrack left here. And I mean, in terms of an odds play and trying to find someone that's a dark horse that could put up those kind of points, Anna, and you know it's a points-based award, I think Dobson could certainly be worth a look. I was on Miro Heiskanen going into the season for that award, guys, and it was obviously a disappointing start to the season for him offensively, but he's been playing huge minutes, still very responsible defensively, and his numbers are starting to tick up as well. So keep an eye on Miro Heiskanen because I think he could build himself a pretty strong portfolio by the time the season's over as well.
Jake, there's a reason why I brought you on today, and that's to take me off the ledge, get me off the ledge when it comes to the Anaheim Ducks, man. They've dropped four in a row, 12 of 13. It's a distant memory from that 9-6-0 start, but I think it's important to stress from a fantasy standpoint. Mason McTavish missed four. He's close to coming back. Trevor Zegras missed 16, close to coming back. And Jamie Drysdale missed 26 games, Bob Bender.
I'll be quick here, but the I'm a language guy. I'm a words guy. The reason you brought Jake on today, how about us as a team, a Fantasy on Ice team, the collaboration? I just, Nick, come on now. You're better than that.
Mistake,
Jake,
my mistake.
Jake,
yeah.
Let her rip. Let her rip, Jake.
Well, yeah, Nick, me and Nick do go way back. But yeah, we're a team here, and I'm always happy to
Semantics.
Yeah, exactly. But when it comes to the Ducks, I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head in terms of the players that are out, Nick. And I think the important player there, and he's missed the shortest amount of time, is Mason McTavish. I think this team is really struggling without him. Now, you could say they were struggling even before he went down, and that would be completely fair because they were kind of leaking oil. I think the early part of the season was a bit smoke and mirrors. We saw a lot of teams get out to these hot starts. You know, Vancouver, obviously they're proving that it was legit. The Flyers to an extent as well. But the Ducks, I always watched it and I thought, this isn't sustainable. You can't get down two goals every night and come back in the third period. So I think this is truly what the Ducks are. That being said, when Mason McTavish comes back and you get him on that line with Frank Vetrano again, I think they're going to get something a little bit more going offensively. I just don't know if that's going to relate to too many more wins on the schedule.
I was telling Pete and Anna, I wasted my entire Wednesday night trying to trade Frank Vetrano, Pete, and I still haven't done it, unfortunately.
Yeah, Frankie's falling off a little bit here, but I can't say I didn't see it coming to some extent, at least. Troy Terry is also maybe droppable, which is surprising to me. That's the one guy coming into the season that I would have had a pretty good amount of confidence that he would have another 60-point season after he had back-to-back 61-plus point seasons. But, yeah, maybe you cut the cord on Troy Terry and, cut your losses here. You got your money's worth with some of these Ducks guys for the first month and a half, and now we're back to reality here.
Nick spending his Wednesday night doing that makes him sound like David Satriano.
What were you doing, Anna?
Right now? What was I doing on Wednesday night?
Yeah.
You know, I was on national TV. No big deal.
Watching Jack Hughes not celebrate an overtime winner. No celly for Jack Hughes after the OT winner. What
a
stud.
I don't know who looked more angry, Jack or me. Like, they had an absolute terrible screen grab on me. I looked so upset to be at that game. But anyway, speaking about the Anaheim Ducks, I got a question for you, Jake, specifically about Mason McTavish, because I was expecting him to be way better last last season. I don't know if I was just hyped about the World Juniors. That season's come along too. Big Canadian heritage moment with Mason McTavish there. If you know, you know. And then last season, he kind of disappointed me a bit. This season, he's looking rock solid. Do you think that this is his ceiling going forward? Or are you worried about him being a little streaky player, like heading forward next year and in futures leagues?
Yeah, I still remember leaving that Canadian heritage moment that you referenced, and I still remember leaving a wedding to go watch the overtime of that gold medal game at a bar down the street and hoping nobody would notice that I left the wedding. So I'll always have a good memory of that one. But I like Mason McTavish a lot. I mean, I think that he was arguably the Ducks' best player before he went down. And I'm glad that it sounds short term and that he's going to come back relatively soon and get back into this lineup. And I know, you know, a lot of the hype is surrounding Zegras and he's been the flashy player on Anaheim. But I think long term for this team, turning things around, I think it's going to come down to McTavish. He to me feels like a guy that could really lead the charge there in Anaheim and be that top end player. And you guys just talked about Frank Vetrano, who's kind of in the cooler right now. I think a big reason for that is because Mason McTavish is out and he really drives the play on that line, opens up space for Vetrano to get that shot off. So I know you're trying to trade off Vetrano right now, but if you want to talk the other side of that, maybe could be a good idea to sneak in, buy low on his value at the moment. And when McTavish comes back, I think you could reap the benefit.
All right, you sold me on that front because Anaheim, again, we were all over them from a betting perspective, and now they just can't win. Like, I don't know how they found a way to lose in regulation against the Islanders, but they did. Delivered by our good friends over at Skip. We'll intertwine this question to what I have too. Thursday night, you got Edmonton, you got Tampa. Would you play Skinner and or Vasilevsky, Jake?
I'd be a little nervous to play Vasilevsky, the way that the Oilers are playing right now. But I think it would depend on your goalie categories for the week, right? And, you know, how much leeway maybe you have. But I think if you're up in the goalie categories and you're feeling pretty good, I wouldn't hate the idea of actually sitting him down because the Oilers just look unreal right now, guys. All ends of the ice. It's crazy to think of how bad they looked early in the season. We know what this team's capable of offensively and what Connor McDavid can do and all that. But defensively, they look a lot more sound as well. They're not allowing a ton of chances. So I think starting any goaltender against the Oilers, like I started a Kira Schmidt against the Oilers on Sunday, and I was cringing every shot that the Oilers took. And it felt like it was a lot of chances. And I somehow got away with only 3 goals allowed, but it felt like the Oilers could have scored 7 or 8 in that game. So if you're starting Vasilevsky on Thursday night, I wish you the best of luck.
I feel like the sports books, Jake, are kind of like going really heavy on the Oilers right now during this winning streak. It's crazy. Like some of the numbers, the number the other day against Chicago, of course, they ended up winning and they've been winning most of these games. I think 6 of the 8 by multiple goals. So the puck line is alive and well right now. But, you know, even to see Tampa Bay plus 150 and minus 180 for Edmonton, it just feels like, I mean, you know, this streak is going to end eventually. So maybe this is a good spot for Tampa to, you know, score 4 or 5 goals and take them out for a win here.
Yeah, there's a point where we got to buy back on the other side. And I understand why there's a lot of love for the Oilers in the market right now. And the market's going to dictate it, right? If they were hanging minus 110 or minus 125 for the Oilers tonight, a lot of people would hammer it and you would see that line just totally skyrocket. So I think this is probably around the fair price right now, but I would understand why you'd maybe want to make a value play on Tampa. And if Vasilevsky has one of those vintage Vasilevsky games, they could certainly win that one and come in as a road dog. So I think there's going to be a time to maybe fade the Oilers and go the other way, but just feels like this team is absolutely firing right now. And they know they need to bank as many points as possible to make up for what happened at the start of the season.
Staying in the crease, we got another fan question courtesy Skip, and I feel like this guy might win the award for waiver wire MVP this season. Connor Ingram, can Connor Ingram last? That's a big question because even in their loss against Pittsburgh, he looked really solid, Jake.
Yeah, he did. He kept them in that game, Anna, and I mean, he's one of the great stories, not only fantasy, but just in hockey in general this year. And we tend to see this with goaltending once or twice a year where a goaltender that kind of, you know, comes out of nowhere and steals the show. It's just funny because if you would have told me Arizona was having success, I would have thought a lot of it would have been on the back of Vemelka, or at least in previous years, the only thing they had going for them was Vemelka. They couldn't score, they couldn't defend, but hey, Vemelka would throw in the odd Vemelka-type game and steal them one. Now it's the complete opposite. Vemelka's struggling, and they're getting scoring, and they have a decent blue line, and Connor Ingram's the guy. So it's kind of strange. I'm curious maybe what happens to Vemelka. You might hear his name out there in some trade rumors, but pretty tough to deal him right now because his value is kind of low and he's not exactly playing all that well. But it's Connor Ingram's net, guys. He's totally stolen this thing away from Vemelka.
It's been really bizarre when it comes to current or former Coyotes netminders. Like, I guess Ivan Prosvetov is the number one in Colorado. Like, I don't know what's going on with your boy Georgiev there, but Prosvetov's been starting some games here, eh?
Yeah, and I think that's one to keep an eye on. I think Prosvetov's around like 5% ownership in leagues right now. So I was kind of eyeing him up earlier this week too, because I saw Georgiev get pulled from that game and just he didn't look right. And he let in a couple of bad goals. I think it was Coleman that scored one that just looked like a little innocent wrister and it goes in. And I'm thinking that's not a goal that should go in on an NHL goaltender. So maybe Georgiev just needs to sit down for a sec. We know, you know, what he's capable of. I think long-term he's going to be the guy in Colorado, but short-term, I think you could see Prosvetov get a few more starts than maybe we thought coming into the year.
And Jake, you mentioned Calgary. I mean, that's been a fantasy no man's land for a while this season, unfortunately. But whether it's Dustin Wolf, the goaltender, there's, of course, Sharon Govich is getting going on the top line. There's Mackenzie Weegar is having a quiet bounce back season with the strong trademark category coverage. So you like to see that as well. And then, yeah, Blake Coleman is a hot fantasy pickup because of his category coverage. So we're not buying back into Calgary, but they do have some sneaky appeal in the props market. And like, nobody's really talking about them. I feel.
No, you're 100% right, Pete. Offensively, they've been great. I mean, that back-to-back earlier this week is about as tough as you could have in the NHL. Colorado, Vegas, back-to-back. And yes, they lost both games and they only picked up 1 point and they had leads in both games, but they scored a lot and they were pushing the pace offensively, which gives them, you know, prop market value, fantasy value. Don't look now, but Nazem Kadri is all of a sudden producing. But unfortunately, Jonathan Huberdeau is still nowhere to be found. So I don't know if we're going to find him at any point this season.
Oh, it's alarming, man. I bought into the hype with Huberdeau in a bounce back, and he's on pace for like 7 points. No, he's on pace for like 42, and yeah, I'm done with that trade. Jake, just to wrap here, any plays you're looking at here on Thursday night? 8 games,
well,
I believe.
I feel like Nick's going to be on my side with this one. I was going to throw this out to you, but the classic first game after a coach firing. Do we have to bet the Blues? Are we contractually obligated to bet the Blues tonight? They are home dogs.
Them, Jake.
Oh, you're fading them. I thought for sure you'd be on my side here.
Yeah, no, because I've noticed a bit of a trend lately, and maybe it doesn't happen. They're playing Ottawa, right?
Yes, Ottawa and St. Louis.
The Sens need the game more than St. Louis. I don't know. Recently, I faded the first game, then they win the second game. I don't know if Bob feels differently here.
I'm not interested in that game, but I can understand what you're saying. Avoid the coach bump, go to Ottawa. Ottawa needs the game more. They're almost desperate here. They've played so many less games than everyone, so kind of catch up with some wins. It's the holiday season. We're not going to see Jake probably
happy
for
holidays.
The rest of 23. So Jake, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, and my gift to you is a couple winners here on the Thursday slate. I'm going to take a page out of my boy Nick Martin's playbook here. Nick Martin, check him out on the NHL Action Collaboration, brought to you by Bet365. I like Carolina tonight here in Detroit. They're pretty sizable favorite, but I think they get things done off that awful Western Canadian road trip. I like the Canes, and then give me the Florida Panthers against Vancouver this evening. Those are the plays for this Thursday.
You buried the lead. It's Roberto Luongo night in Vancouver. OEL returns. I'm all over that, Jake. And I looked at that number. I don't know if it's changed now, Jake, but on Wednesday night, the Panthers are already the favorite coming off the shutout loss to Seattle, right?
Yeah, they looked pretty flat in that game against Seattle. So I think that's, you know, first game going out west. I feel like the Panthers will be much better against the Vancouver Canucks. And I love this Panthers team, guys. Even in the futures market as well, you're still seeing them around that 18. And maybe you can catch a 20 still out there on the Florida Panthers. I think this team is legit. And I feel like they're primed for another deep run. I like your play on the Canes as well, Bob. I think the Red Wings are going to struggle with Dylan Larkin out of the lineup down the middle of the ice. It looks pretty thin right now. And I'll throw my Flyers out there as well. I just believe in this Flyers team, guys. I think they're a playoff team this year. So let's win another game tonight, Philly.
There you have it. Bob Bender's betting segment. Bob Bender's betting segment. Triple B. Not sponsored. We need one very much. Thank you very much, Bob. Thank you very much, Jake Hahn.
Happy holidays, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jake.
The one and only Jay Conn. Check him out on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio from there, guys. I just wanted to add some injury replacement options for Andrei Svechnikov. Upper body injury with Carolina. Kyle Connor, as we mentioned, with Winnipeg. Mason McTavish, Lucas Raymond, Quinton Byfield, and Pete, your boy, and Bob Bender's boy, William Eklund. The San Jose Sharks. I woke up today and I picked up Michael Granlund, too. I'm feeling San Jose, obviously.
Yeah, I saw Granlund second in the NHL in points since the start of December, behind only Nathan MacKinnon. I mean, that's ridiculous. But yeah, Eklund's kept it going. And I mean, that's one of those teams, like, I don't expect them to get back into contention, but this is a nice little, you know, half a month or so that they're playing at a very high level. So give them credit. I mean, their season was pretty much dead from the start, but they're alive and back in this thing a little bit.
I think, unfortunately, they're playing a little bit too well right now in San Jose. So maybe things will turn around, but they don't want to rebuild. they never want to rebuild. They're not committed to the bit.
No, it's funny. They've been mentioning on social media, like, the name Macklin Celebrini, who can go first overall, and there's that potential with Chicago now, right? Like, I think 4 weeks ago, we were talking about San Jose being one of the worst teams of all time. And now they've gone the other way where they're winning and winning and winning. And I think we just love that from a DFS standpoint. Like, again, we've talked about them a lot the last week and a half, but the Sharks are providing value. I don't really care about the wins or losses here, guys.
Okay. We understand. The Sharks have had a nice little run. They're going to go back in the tank pretty quickly. But we give them the credit. We give them the props. We give them the applause.
We're giving people free money, too. They've covered a 9 of 10.
An extension of Bendy's bets here that I did not give Jake. I was a little turned off by the way the Rangers played against the Maple Leafs, and also a little surprised with the way the Maple Leafs played at MSG. I think the number's a little crazy here tonight. I kind of like Columbus at that number in Toronto. Toronto just has that inconsistent feel, right? And I can sense maybe a little letdown getting back home. And taking it easy, taking their foot off the gas, and Columbus can steal one in Toronto tonight. So that's those are my three picks: Carolina, Florida, and we'll go with Columbus at the big price here tonight on a Thursday. Put a bow on it, folks.
I played with that last night, actually, plus 225, I believe. I got Columbus because the Leafs do lose these games. That's what they do. They lose to bad teams. They beat good teams. Anna?
Just adding a little sprinkle of a prop since Bob brought up Columbus. Kirill Merchenko, shots, guys. He loves playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's really good against Toronto. Plus numbers there.
Ooh, we love to see that. We also love to see the delivery of the week. Who delivered the most for you in fantasy hockey this week? It's time for the delivery of the week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Who do you have, Pete?
I was looking at Philip Forsberg also being one of the biggest surprises in all of fantasy hockey this year. Currently sixth overall in Yahoo Standard Leagues this season after being drafted on average in the 140s. Nashville has exceeded my expectations of that team. They're playing really well right now, and he's fueling the top line every single night for that team, Anna.
I'm sticking with the Phillips and looking at Philip Hronek in Vancouver. I feel like we're talking about every single person on the Canucks, and he deserves some love too. He's been pretty much a point per game player this entire season. In his past 24 games, he has been a point per game player with 24 points.
I love it. I'm going to stick in Vancouver and go with Brock Besser, who I brought up earlier on, an 8-game point streak, 8 goals, 5 assists, 13 points. He's on pace for 59 goals and currently tied, as we have this conversation, with Austin Matthews for the league goal scoring lead at 21. That's your delivery of the week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. What do we have coming up next week, Pete?
More waiver wire pickups. We got Christmas coming up at the tail end of next week, right? Mm-hmm. Christmas Eve is the Sunday, so we'll have two episodes for you next week. For sure, and we're looking forward to another Action Network collab. Go back and listen to the show from last week, and that'll be a weekly thing for the most part moving forward.
Listen, please, folks, go back, because the information in those shows, the Impeccable. Action NHL collaboration, all over the John Tavares two-point night on Long Island would have paid out plus 270. Picks galore, winners galore. Anna comes on with the props. Petey always digging deep, finding value everywhere. And then the folks at Action are just the best of the best. So please go and listen. Click play. In fact, I don't even care if you listen. You're doing yourself a disservice if you don't listen. At least click play for us. I mean, we put in a lot of work here. Click play for us, folks.
And I want people to click on the Jake Wallman interview, right, Producer Bobby? That happened recently, too?
Oh my God. On with Darren Millard talking about the gritty, where he, you know, where is the celebration going to next? You know, he's a big Selly guy, Jake Wallman. So go listen to that. The Chirp with Darren Millard. Let's put a bow on it.
Anna, any final thoughts here?
About like the gritty?
Just anything.
No, I don't know where it came from. I'll give you a Christmas wish. Okay?
Okay.
My Christmas wish is that I want the Carolina Hurricanes to win 2 games in a row, guys.
Oh, I don't know about that one. You did get your wish when you went to the game. Your boy Dawson Mercer scored a goal. So you were happy, right?
I was thrilled.
Many thanks to Jay Kahn from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. Again, don't forget Week 11 Waiver Wire Edition.
Golden
coming up
Boy
next week.
Buttercup.
That's Bob Bender with Jake's nickname that we all hate. And many thanks to Pete Jensen. Great job, as per usual, Pete Jensen and Anadua. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.